Hit me with the horns, 20! Yeah, it's the Capital City Podcast. I'm your host, Capital J, alongside my main man,
DL Glass.
DL came up with a great topic, man. We're going to jump straight into that.
Yes, sir.
What is it?
Can you judge a person by the music they listen to?
And since we're talking hip-hop, I know this topic can expand way beyond hip-hop. But since we're talking hip-hop, let's just say within the hip-hop community, I think there are some stereotypes and people being judged by the way they lean hip-hop-wise.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
So, well, where are we going to start? In the beginning.
Yes, sir.
Now, back in the day, when you heard somebody listen to hip-hop and it's 1980, 81, 82, you know they're probably young.
Have to be.
So the immediate judgment is, that's a young person.
Yes.
Just hear the music. There's somebody definitely under the age of 30 around here.
Absolutely.
Off top.
I'd say younger than that.
And then, next thing, they think they're cool.
Right. Right. You know why I say I think they're younger than that? Because during that time, now that I think about it, I know some late 20 and early 30 year olds. I never heard them play hip hop.
At this point now?
No, back then in the early 80s. I mean,
right, but you have to remember we were in North Carolina.
Oh, yes.
And in 1980, 81, mm-hmm. the only people really seeking it out was probably, you know, right. us, the teenagers. But since hip hop had already been going on for 10 years at that point, then I can imagine that there were some 30-year-olds in New York that already been raised on a nice, steady diet of hip-hop.
Yes.
Already.
Absolutely.
So, I would say up to age 30 so we can make sure we cover everybody.
Okay.
But down here, since hip-hop had made the impact that it had made in New York already.
Right.
Of course, that demographic was much younger in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, somebody listen to hip hop. No, they're not 30. 30-year-olds like, well, I'm listening to Freddie Jackson.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to put on my hard bottom shoes. I'm not going to be all on the floor dancing with y'all. Y'all look crazy.
Hanging their clothes in the back.
Right. Look crazy. Wearing sneakers in the club.
Still getting their clothes pressed at the cleaners.
Right. That was the difference.
Yes, sir.
So hip hop had, people listening to hip hop were being judged back then.
Yes.
And not just by your age or what you're into. People also look at you like your taste in music is not fully developed.
Right.
Because I know I heard plenty of times, this ain't real music.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They ain't doing nothing but talking.
Right.
Anybody could talk.
Right.
You heard that.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the showmanship?
Mm-hmm.
They ain't doing no dance moves together on stage.
Right.
Where's the three-piece suit? It just seemed unprofessional to anybody that grew up on the Temptations.
Right.
You know, you see a couple of guys grab the mic and rip it up with a DJ. Like, he ain't even got no band. Where's the band?
Right.
So we were being judged early.
Mm-hmm.
So off top, the judgment started with just listening to hip-hop versus everything else that was available.
Right.
You were being judged. This before hip hop had sub genres. There's no trap. Yeah. There's no pop. Hip hop. There's no,
none of that. There's no Eminem. All the same. Yeah.
It's just hip hop in itself. You're being judged just for enjoying it.
Right. It and I'm just thinking about this now. It's a little bit off subject, but it's still relating to early hip hop. Because what you just said sparked something with me when you said an older person might have said that they just talking,
right?
But isn't there a lot of times, like, because they call masters a ceremony and a preacher gives a ceremony, wasn't that kind of like what a preacher did?
True, but a preacher wasn't calling himself a
musical artist. I'm not saying that. You know what I mean, though. I'm just saying that it just seems like it should have been easier.
Street sermons, it should have been easier to relate.
Yeah, that's all I was saying, yeah.
Especially from a generation that had Dolemite and Blowfly.
Yeah, right.
And Gil Scott Heron.
And Fatback Markham.
Yeah, Pig Meat Markham.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like the blueprint had been laid down.
Right.
But I think for some reason, they were able to separate what Gil Scott Heron did, mm-hmm. what Curtis Blow was doing. Like, it's different to them.
Right. Curtis Blow looked more like them, though.
I guess it's because Gil Scott Heron had a, you know, jazz and funky jazz playing in the background.
And he had his hard bottoms on.
He was usually in some African garb, you know, yeah. Some kind of dashiki. Right. Wasn't street attire.
Right.
But then you fast forward a few years, and within our hip hop community, we start judging each other based on which way your tastes lean.
Oh.
In the hip hop.
Right.
And we talked about how that first separation probably came from the way it used to be to the way it's going to be. It was probably Run DMC.
Mm-hmm.
And coming in there with just a beat machine.
Right.
Prior to that, you know, at least you could make the argument to your parents, well, you know, they got a, you know, Sugar Hill Gang was rapping with a real band. They had an in-house band that was playing the music.
Mm-hmm.
Run DMC came out with just drums. And then it was even harder to try to, that ain't nothing but the drums. And the drums ain't even real. It's some electric drums. What is this?
Right.
I cannot get jiggy to this. You know? So the judgment began. Are you of the old guard,
mm-hmm.
or are you new school?
Right.
Run DMC split the crowd.
Yes. Yes. Now, do you think that judgment was in part because of how the style of rap changed? Because, like, okay, the rappers of the early, before, like, Run DMC, mm-hmm. came with the full sentences and all the cadences and actually, you know, rhymes that weren't just rhyming words, but actual sentences and, you know, thought
I think Run DMC had a lot of that flavor too.
That early stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But there was a segment of the audience that liked the way it used to be.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And mind you, that segment was older.
Hmm.
So now they're looking like Run DMC is that's a young folks rap.
Now, who you think they got more judged
Curtis
by?
Curtis Blow, Sugar Hill Gang, Grandmaster Flash was old folks rap overnight.
Right.
For those in the rap community. And old back then, you know, you're talking 24. You know what I'm saying?
Like, and you've been rapping since last year. It's just 24.
Them 15-year-olds listening to Run DMC. Yeah. You know, 24-year-olds still want to hear.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And here comes some judgment.
Yes.
Yeah. Fast forward a little farther when rap starts branching out of New York. I remember looking at people who like non-New York hip hop, kind of side eye.
Oh, you was one of them.
Hey, man, it's like, yo, like, really, you like the Dream Team?
Yeah, right.
The L.A. Dream Team? You know, and there were some people who dug it, ladies and gentlemen, and dream team and gentlemen. The drink. And they had fans. And some people around here like that too.
Right.
But the judgment begins.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, you're looking at them like, that ain't real hip hop.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And those people, like, they get shunned. You can't bring, you know, back in the day, people carried tapes around. You know, you hop in the car, listen to my tape. I got this tape. Mm-hmm. You pull out L.A. Dream Tape and pop it in, you know, you're going to get judged.
Yes.
And man, go ahead on.
Right.
With that. But.
Yeah. Right.
You know, same thing with Hammer. How did we look at people who really like MC Hammer? Well, who liked MC Hammer more than everybody else? There's a lot of white people.
That's where he made most of his money.
Like, I remember, you know, when we were listening to, let's say, K-9 Posse was out, and MC Hammer had, "You Can't Touch This." Mm-hmm. Well, if I'm bumping K-9 Posse, when I thought MC Hammer, anybody's riding around listening to "You Can't Touch This," not saying it wasn't a hit for everybody, because, yes, it was a hit song.
Right.
But to ride around bumping that, you knew it was a white dude.
Well,
and that was the I'm doing air quotes. That was the judgment. Is that if I hear that song coming out of a car, I know I'm gonna turn around and see a white dude.
But white dude. But I remember people walking around with MC Hammer pants on in the hood.
That's true, but MC Hammer didn't like. Yeah, the parachute style. Well, the big. I think MC Hammer is totally responsible for some of that. He commercialized it. Yeah.
Nobody did it bigger than Hammer.
I'm gonna tell you the look that I think he's most responsible for is them daggone shoes with the steel.
Oh, a piece of steel
on the front. Yeah, that was Hammer all day. Damn, Hammer all day. And I seen people wear the pants that were kind of, you know, kind of baggy and flare, and then they come back to the ankle.
Yeah.
But the levels that he took it to, the amount of baggage.
Right.
In his pants. And when you saw somebody with that, you knew it was straight Hammer.
Right.
Now, the question is, when you look at that person, you know they're a Hammer fan. Did you judge them?
No.
You didn't?
No. And you know why I say that? Because I saw, matter of fact, I know a few people from the hood who got those MC Hammer pants made for them.
And folks are getting hooked up.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, and I don't remember judging them. I remember like, damn, he got some MC Hammer pants. You know? Yeah. Maybe at older, I might have judged them, but I don't know. Like I guess I did judge the skinny jeans. I did.
Right.
Yeah. So.
So, okay. Yeah. Types of hip hop and the judgment associated with it.
Okay.
We done made it all the way up through Hammer.
Mm-hmm.
Then here comes Vanilla Ice.
I don't know nobody bumping
that. Did you know anybody who bumped that?
Nobody.
So if you heard somebody who bumped that. But if it came on. What is the first thing you think about that person? Like, it's 1990 or 91 and somebody rose up. All right, stop.
It was a white boy.
Collaborate and listen.
It was a white boy.
Is white boy. But white that girl. Doesn't mean it was always a white boy.
Where I'm from, it is.
Like, I remember when that song first dropped, I was in school. Initially, before it turned into a song that you were tired of hearing, everybody rocked with that joint.
Oh, absolutely. Stop. You know? Collaborate
and listen. What? and it was the hottest thing out. Absolutely. And it wouldn't have been unheard of to see somebody roll through bumping Ice Ice Baby.
The first time I saw that white boy, I said, why he's copying MC Hammer?
He did seem like an MC Hammer clone.
Yeah, he was the
white boy. But his rap style wasn't quite MC Hammer.
But still. Mm-hmm. It still was the Temptation song stolen from the 70s.
Right. The whole look was definitely Hammer.
The Hammer pants. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? The vest or what was that? What was that thing they always wore with no shirt on?
I didn't think it was a vest. It was a vest. But look, it was a shimmery, shiny vest. Now, okay. Now you have certain artists. Like, I'm going to tell you that I'm guilty of judging people based on what songs they like from a certain artist. Like, for example, I'm a Big Daddy Kane fan.
Okay.
But, you know, my joints ain't no half-stepping, Young Gifted and Black.
Mm-hmm.
The dude that pull up bumping because I can do it right. I'm looking at him and I'm quietly judging, dude. Like, Big Daddy Kane got a whole catalog of hardcore.
What was the joint where he had the Speedo? What was that? What track was that?
It was a Smooth Operator. But that's what I'm saying. It's like, so this is the Big Daddy Kane that made you latch on to Big Daddy Kane. The beginning. It's the Teddy Riley produced joint and not the Marley Marl produced joint. So
okay.
I have to admit that I was guilty of judging people who preferred Big Daddy Kane on the Teddy Riley song over Big Daddy Kane on a Marley Marl beat. Mm. I look at in my mind.
He was deep.
This person's corny.
He was deep but, in at that point. He was hey, deep.
But you know, you gotta remember that some, you know, girls like that joint too. And which get us to another point. You know, girls like different stuff than guys like.
I'm glad you said that, because that's my thought as to why I asked the question.
Right.
Because I was thinking about females.
Right. Well, girls dug it. I always say judgment for women and what they like, because I'm well aware that they like different stuff. But when a dude jump on that train.
Right.
Like if I hear a dude say my favorite Nas joint is You Owe Me, and he skips Represent and all this other stuff. In my mind, I may not say it out.
Ain't no dude gonna say that, man.
Hey, I'm just saying.
Pick another track, man.
I'm just saying. But this is the way that we quietly judge people.
Well, I like Nas because of his verse on Hot Boy with Missy.
Right. You know, it's like, yo, where were you when World Is Yours and Represent. Halftime
New York State of Mind
and all this other stuff came out. You missed all that? And this, which, and in my mind, I'm thinking, well, this person did not listen to Nas or discover Nas until Nas came on the radio.
Okay. Right.
So in my mind, I'm judging this person saying they're not a true follower of hip hop.
No.
Because this is the Nas they know
now.
Right. And that Nas would, that was radio Nas.
Right.
If you don't know the other Nas, I ain't really want nothing to do with you.
Nothing. Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, it's hard. You know, it's hard because it's human nature.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can sit here and deny it all you want to.
Right.
But we all do it. You judge people based on their musical taste.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember, I used to, when I was DJing, let's say early 90s, there were extra songs within the hip-hop community. Like, if I'm DJing for a college crowd, let's say it's another half hour of music, they're not going to play if I'm at a club in the hood.
Oh,
certain songs,
right?
You know, and then it's certain stuff that's gonna go over better with that group than the college crowd.
Oh, absolutely.
And I can think of certain artists, you know, like Black Moon Boot Camp, for example.
It wouldn't go
college
over.
Students like they dug it, but they ain't go in the same way.
Hell no,
they went in when I'm playing this joint for non-college students. It's different.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Bucktown.
Yeah.
Means something different in here.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And
somebody might get a fight.
Yeah, De La Tribe.
Right.
I give the college crowd more
of that.
Of the native tongue flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Then I remember I went back to Tarboro, the DJ in 1991. I forgot where it was. But
you couldn't play all that day.
I brought Ring 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 had just come out. Hey, how you doing? Sorry, you can't. Hottest joint on the streets when it dropped at the time.
That is.
But I'm coming from Greensboro, an area that got
it was
five
epic
colleges within the city limits.
It was an epic fail.
Man, I dropped that joke. Everybody looked at me like, what the hell you doing? What the hell is you playing this shit for?
It's funny you say that, because now, and that's why I like going back east, so I can listen to the damn radio. Because it ain't that 97.5 keep playing every 5 minutes.
No.
It's totally stuff that you didn't know that artist made. Go to Eastern North
Carolina. You know why? You know why it's different?
Different markets.
No. It ain't got nothing to do with the market.
Mm-hmm.
It's the radio station ownership.
Okay.
Eastern North Carolina still have independent radio owners or small owners who only own maybe a couple of stations.
Right. That's what I meant by market. But like different. Yeah.
But here, you know, everything's
corporate.
iHeart Radio 1.
Mm-hmm.
You'll hear the same thing on every iHeart station in the format, every Radio 1 station in the format.
Right.
When you get to a smaller market,
right,
they have freedom.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that's bad. And that's it to be addressed in a later podcast, but I think that's bad.
And the government thought it was bad, too, up to a certain point. Mm-hmm. When I first started on radio, nobody was allowed to own as many stations as Radio 1 and iHeart own today.
Yeah, but they're in bed together now. So
now they loosened the regulations, and when mm-hmm. they did, it allowed for these large corporations to own
right.
so many. But it used to be split. It had a lot of radio station owners. They had little pockets of stations.
Right.
And
that's the way it should be.
Right, right.
No one corporation should own all the radio stations and play the same, their agenda music.
Right. So when you get to Eastern North Carolina, like let's say you're talking about Soul 92 or what's it called now?
Choice.
92 Jams or Choice.
Choice 92 now. Yeah.
Yeah, they're not 95. They're not under a national playlist.
Right. Right.
You know?
Yeah. Not
they don't have to ask anybody's permission
to play certain stuff.
Play
right.
anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but unfortunately they're not gonna reach as many people either.
Right. Now, to get back on topic, do you think hip hop as a whole has received more scrutiny or more judgment from those of the black culture or minority culture versus what they get from the other folks?
I would say it's the others. Initially, the judgment, like there was another amount of judgment you used to have to deal with from listening to stuff like NWA.
Mm-hmm.
You know, NWA was dangerous to the powers that be.
Right.
So
right.
while we're listening, we're being judged. You ride down the street bumping NWA, then anybody that's not brown is looking at you like, oh, shit, mm-hmm. put my wallet away.
Right.
You know.
Right.
The police are like, oh, Lord, there's going to be trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, definitely. Definitely. You definitely judge back in the day by the type of rap that you listen to.
Mm-hmm.
And it still goes on now, but you would judge harshly for listening to gangster rap back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because all rap didn't have all the language, but gangster rap was full of curse words. So the first thing, and this is an era when music was being broadcast. Like, we started off with boomboxes.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever we're listening to, everybody listened to by default.
Yes.
Right. Right. So, you know, you think about who some of the pioneers of testing the boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Take Just Ice, mm-hmm. Schoolie D, NWA.
Right.
These people, when you playing their music loud, and you know, even as the boombox goes away, you get into the loud car stereos. Everybody's windows down.
Yeah.
Kicker box is just becoming a big thing. People are broadcasting their music.
Mm-hmm. It's one thing to ride through high volume.
Right. One thing to ride through, listen to LL.
Yeah.
It's another thing to ride through listening to NWA or Schoolie D.
Or Public Enemy or
something. Or even Just Ice. Go yeah. back and listen to LaToya or, you right. know, Hip Hop Gangster. Yes, you are the Hip Hop Gangster.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those songs were different.
Right.
You roll up bumping that, and you had some bigger balls.
Yes.
And people immediately, you know, and I'm not saying the judgment is, ooh, I'm going to run from that guy. The judgment says that you're different. It made you seem tougher,
absolutely.
More edgy.
Right, right, right. That's crazy.
Yep, but look at today. Like, when it got to the point, like, I remember when Nelly dropped. And I would say Bone Thugs is in that category, too.
Mm-hmm.
Coming off of all the type of hip-hop we were used to, they offer something different, a different direction.
Right.
3-6 Mafia when they first dropped.
Ooh.
I remember, you remember Hook?
Mm-mm.
Tarbor? he used to tell us about 3-6 Mafia all the time. And I remember the first time I heard it, everybody was like, what is this? You know. But then it grows on you. But when you first hear that music, it's so far it's left that you kind of judge anybody listening to that. It seems unsophisticated.
He'll bam my ass.
Right. Right. And you got some judgment for these
not
dudes.
Not from Alabama, but you Bama as hell.
Right, right. So, you, and there you go. You instantly judge somebody who's listening to something that, you know, all of a sudden it feels, and I, this is I'm just saying, at the time, it felt dumbed down.
Absolutely.
So you're like, what is going on? You have spent all this time getting to the point where dudes are coming at you all kind of words.
Yes.
Wordplay, and then it's bad. And you're like, what is this?
Right.
And you judge.
Yeah.
That go to judgment. Judgment begins.
Absolutely.
And, you know, here we are today, and that's all there is.
There's a,
it is. That is what hip-hop is now. It just is.
And it's crazy because I can think about times where I was young and running around in the streets or going to clubs and stuff like that. And if I saw the car of girls with the windows down bumping this, what we call now trap music. Oh, it's on.
Right. You know, and there goes some judgment.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but any girl that's sitting around listening to this, but she ain't, you know, maybe her mama didn't raise her so good. Yeah. She might be down to do something strange.
Yo.
And that may not be the case, but that is the judgment.
Yes.
By what you're listening to.
Versus the ones that's in the car with the windows up and you can't hear their music. But especially like
they were listening to MC Hammer.
Right. When that whole trap thing, I think when trap music really went commercial and it was available to the masses, like people give credit to T.I. for being the father of commercializing trap.
Yeah, I can see that.
But I say the rapper that they don't give enough credit to, who was, in my opinion, more popular than T.I. ever could have been. And when I say popular, I'm talking about when you have buying power that makes people spend on you, was Jeezy. When I tell you, when this black bald-headed drops, every female car I rode past, and they rapping every word. T.I.
had already kicked the door, though. He had already kicked the door.
I say that. You know what I'm saying? But I'm talking about, I didn't see T.I.'s effect.
They ride with Gucci, too.
Jeezy did it first, bro.
Really?
Gucci?
I can't unlink Jeezy and Gucci. Like, first time we heard Jeezy was on Gucci's song.
Absolutely. So, I give you that.
At the end of the day, you're going to look back on it and say, who put Jeezy on? Gucci?
Absolutely. When I think Gucci went to prison the first time, it's like the first summer that Jeezy got his
when
shot.
The snowman was everywhere.
Bro, you ain't seen that nowhere. You ain't see that. The snow, you said it.
It was like it was the same effect that 50 Cent had. Like, the way that Jeezy took over the hood down here was the way that 50 Cent, the same impact I saw in that similar community.
50 Cent had everybody walking around with a snowman on their t-shirt, though.
Oh, but I'm not ever going to say that Jeezy had more impact than 50.
No, I ain't saying that. I'm just talking the proof is in the pudding when you're talking about the impact of a person. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I even see a couple of dudes wearing
Jeezy didn't have Dre
crazy.
And Eminem, though. Jeezy didn't have Dre and Eminem.
Nah, he did.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know.
He did, but
50 Cent is, in my opinion, undisputably in the top five greatest that ever did it. And you take that how you want to take it.
Hey.
You know what I'm saying?
Hey, that's your mic drop moment.
You know what I'm saying? Take it how you want to take it, because if you want to talk about numbers, we can talk about numbers, two diamond albums back to back.
Right.
Come on now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, I don't care if he can rap better than so-and-so, he sold more records, damn it.
speaking of trap music.
Yeah.
Before cats who, like, the cats who end up, the type of people who end up championing the sound of Jeezy, T.I.,
women,
Gucci.
Man.
No, I'm saying not just the women. I'm talking about even the fellas.
Mm-hmm.
They had before to. They had that option, I saw Master P fill that void.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Trick Daddy.
Snap Music fill that void
before
for me.
Yeah. And then you go back before that, before you had your Southern options like that, your mm-hmm. UGK and all of that, those cats would lean towards your EPMD.
Right.
And, right. You know, like I said, Boot Camp, Click.
Yes.
Helter Skelter.
Yeah.
They filled the void.
But that was from our limited view of things.
Mm-hmm.
Because a whole different view was being had in
on
Louisiana.
On the stuff. West Coast, you had Desert. Cats like Spice One.
Right.
And right. MC8.
That was my guy.
You see what I'm yeah. like?
93?
They're holding that. They're holding the torch.
MC8 was my favorite rapper in 93.
Word.
Favorite rapper, yes.
Yeah. MC8 was dope.
Straight up menace.
Yeah. He had some good stuff. Yeah. I dropped that on one of my mixtapes.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
You got to pay homage to that.
I had a dude tell me, he said, man, when you dropped that daggone Straight Up Menace.
It changed.
And on that mixtape, he said, I remember listening to it. He said, I was blown. All I could think is, I'm going to kill me somebody. But
kill
tonight.
Me.
I said, hey, who? That ain't what I was.
Straight Up Menace.
So how far off is the judgment,
man? if that song, if I hear it bumping out of somebody's car right now, I'm gonna look in that direction.
Mm-hmm. And you know the crazy thing is EPMD wasn't, like, when you look back on it,
mm-hmm.
I didn't really associate them with all the street life, but no. The streets really. Yeah. Gravitated towards a sound.
Right. Do you think it had something to do with it? Like, what do you think?
It was the boom bap.
The boom bap. Okay.
Like, it had a lot of guys that would bump with KRS like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And this is even, but you got, I think KRS came out. Originally, the first Boogie Down Productions Criminal Mind album, that was one of those albums, you listen to that, you're going to get judged.
But KRS-One was always rapping. He never did the
he was
the
rapping.
Early stuff. He always was rapping.
But those people who listened to that back then, there was judgment coming. Like, you heard mm-hmm. BDP coming up the street. Like, yeah. Because back in the day, if you're out on the block
was
or doing
hard.
Whatever you're doing, you hear people coming before you see them.
Right.
You hear them coming up the street.
Mm-hmm.
You hear BDP coming up the street.
You're going to look.
Whoever's in that car.
Hard.
Man, there it is.
Yeah.
And that's a term that we don't use as much anymore, but hard is the word.
Hell yeah. Man,
that person's hard.
I don't want to fucking dance.
Yeah, and I would say that some of the early Jungle Brothers got tossed in that category, but then later on they softened a little bit. The image softened.
Right.
But
when did Jeru the Damager drop.
Jeru, all right. Let's take Jeru. I would say that while he did have some hard stuff,
mm-hmm.
I had a different type of judgment for people who listen to Jeru.
Hmm.
Like, they were the seemed like that was the beginning. Like, I would argue that the kind of people that you judge as Erykah Badu listeners. In hip hop,
okay,
started their journey with Jeru and cats like that.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying. Okay. I know a lot of people say, "What about Tribe
Diggable and all these, and all that,
Diggable
yo.
Planets?" But Jeru was the edgier part of that, and he wasn't all that. But you know, he's coming up with his head wrapped,
right?
You know, speaking, right. You know, he's talking about. Black women not acting like bitches. Don't be a bitch. You remember that song?
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about everything he's saying in there, it's truly mm-hmm. telling you to be better.
Right.
And that was the movement at the time. He was the edgy guy doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But when I listen to that, I automatically think head wraps. Dang. Immediately. When I hear J.Rue, I think head wraps.
He probably still got one on now, don't
he? I don't know, but but you know, I associate the person who loved J.Rue with the person who was gonna later love Erykah Badu.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Goody Mob.
Right.
I put, you know.
Right.
Tough, hardcore, but mm-hmm. still there's a consciousness in what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still delivering it in a true street fashion. So that's why, you know, I said Erykah, Goody Mob, J.Rue, X-Clan.
Mm-hmm.
Foo
Snickers? Nah.
Maybe Fugees.
Absolutely, the Fugees.
You know?
Neo-soul rap.
Yeah, it's like you kind of, you know, these are the precursors
right.
to the guys who will come fill that void. Bahamadia, definitely, absolutely, yes, definitely.
Bahamadia. I used to vibe to that album, though, man.
Right.
Yeah, man. Rhapsody is her now to me.
Right, and that's that place. Hey, we don't get that variety within the genre.
Well, you got to go look for it.
It's yeah, there. You got it. I mean, but that means you don't get it. Right, you got it. Right. You have to go and seek it out.
Because if it's not an ad that comes across your streaming platform, you won't never, ever know it's out there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And, okay, there was a time when, did you have judgment for girls that like Lil' Kim and Foxy back in the day?
Hell, yo!
But here's the thing. What girls didn't like Lil' Kim and Foxy back
then? I knew some.
You knew some?
Yeah, those are the ones that I meet at a library and we going, so I can make sure I pass this fucking test. But the other ones, as soon as I finish that library, let's go.
He pop in Big Mama thing out of this piece.
How much you got on this blunt? Come here, bitch.
All right, judgment. You hear somebody listen to Cypress Hill? I'm going to say this. No, they get high. Everybody, like, if you, like, cats who, like, and it was some people like Cypress Hill songs. But if you had more than one Cypress Hill album.
Right.
You smoke weed.
That's
the judgment.
The judgment.
This person definitely getting lit.
What drugs is they like if they like Wu-Tang?
You know what? That's something that
you learned later on.
I didn't think about that because I wasn't in Tarver at the time. I found out later.
Shit.
That, you know,
Wu-Tang.
Wu. Right, but that didn't mean that everywhere else.
Oh yeah, I guess.
You see what I'm saying?
What they call the Wu something else.
That
called it getting dirty.
To me, that I only heard that association.
In Edgecombe County.
Right.
Gotcha.
I never heard anybody else associate Wu-Tang with World of Woolies.
Yeah.
But.
I mean, it's factual now.
But you know, okay, when I heard Wu-Tang back in the day, I knew that anybody listening to Wu-Tang owned a pair of Timbs.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's the judgment. I knew you had a pair of Timbs, a hoodie, and some big jeans
Wu-Tang somewhere
in your closet.
So New York, just like Mobb Deep, just like Nas,
right.
Just like Jay-Z. They were so New York, but New York cornered the market back then.
Yes, and I was saying Mobb Deep was way more gangster than Wu-Tang.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like, and it was just two of them. If I had to, if I saw two groups of people, this is how I'm judging. Mm-hmm. Two groups of black people standing.
Mm-hmm.
One group listening to Wu-Tang, one group listening to Mob.
Right.
I'm going to feel a little bit safer head towards the Wu-Tang.
And you know, I wonder, now that I'm thinking about it, I wonder if Raekwon and Ghostface realized at some point we have to be different because there's so many of us doing the same thing that we got to stand out. Like, I wonder
they early stood out days, as the street cats, you mean?
And their flow
I think they were all, I think they were all street cats, and I think it was just a crazy coincidence that Method Man METHOD, man, happened to be the song
that took
that took off.
Right.
Considering the flip side was Protect Your Neck.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that tells you everything you need to know about the Wu right there. But then you got this other joint on the other side, and they happen to have something that was commercial. And I don't think commercial fit Wu-Tang. And I think they spent the rest of their career trying to figure out how to balance.
Yeah, and they left it up to RZA, and he messed it up. But what I was saying about them being different, I'm talking about their styles. Because metaphorically speaking, we had not seen that, and not like shit, we ain't seen it since. The way these dudes were speaking in parables and all this other stuff about stuff, and they was rapping about the same stuff, but they just chose to do it in a different.
Yeah, like, they were different
early on, like before we heard of quote unquote the Wu. Was their style the same? Like did Ray and Ghost have that style before? Like, how
did
they come?
I don't know, man. I have to imagine, if you listen to the whole group collectively,
yes,
you can hear the elements of their style that bond them together. So I think from being together so long,
yeah,
I think their style was forged in a community, in their own community. They all had a little bit of that, you know, a little bit of whatever makes them Woo.
Mm-hmm.
You could hear it in all of them, even though all of them were different.
Now, who came first, Daz Effects or Wu-Tang?
Daz Effects.
Right.
But
Ray and Ghost.
But RZA
was producing before.
No, RZA was already, he had been a solo artist.
What was his name?
Prince Raheem.
Right.
So, yeah. You know, he had already made a run. The Jizza and made a run as the Genius.
Did they take Daz Effects style?
No. Nah. You ain't never heard of Iggy out of the Wu.
Nah, they just did it different.
Nah, I don't think. I don't hear anything. They just did it different. I don't hear anything.
Like, how did they come up with it to be so different when it was so many members of them? That's what I'm saying. Like, well, that's why I say it.
Everybody that came, you start thinking 93, everybody was a little different. Like, you know, it's one of the, when there are so many styles of hip-hop out, everybody's different. That's why it's so easy to point to the judgment that you have, because when, like, you're talking about Daz Effects is out at the same time as PM Dawn.
Yes.
And I don't know anybody that was bumping PM Dawn.
I like that track.
Yeah, everybody liked it.
Yeah, but nobody was putting
it. But you were almost, you knew better than to bump it.
Right.
Like, it was a lot of songs that you liked, and because of the judgment, there were some songs you liked that you would not bump around people because you knew that it may do something to your reputation.
Because like,
the
you
song
were being
you're
judged.
Listening to, right, the yes. song you're listening to is just what back in the day, what you pull up listening to is just as important as what kind of shoes you step out with.
Absolutely.
What kind of sweatshirt, what kind of jeans,
right,
what kind of haircut.
Right.
And you can like something, but you cut it off when you get ready to be around people.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know, there's a bunch of
like
stuff.
Like when you pulled up bumping that Sexy Red the other day, I didn't judge you. And I saw you try to turn it down.
I know this is a joke. But honestly, but that, you know.
You like
it. I like that on You My Everything. Tell them hoes go together. Tell them hoes go together.
That shit just catchy.
Hey, it's catchy, but you know what? That's a song that I actually like that song.
It's
but,
not a hip hop
song. But I wouldn't pull up nowhere bumping that.
It's not a hip hop song, so you shouldn't.
You know
that's
what I'm saying?
A 40s track.
Ooh, baby.
I honestly thought it was a parody when I first heard it, bro. Like, she sounds horrible singing. And but, Drake got right on that track.
But that's the thing. Like, we've been through horrible before. We heard Old Dirty singing horribly before. We heard Eazy-E singing, you know, I'd rather be with you, who? I mean, you know, like, it fit right in line with things I have accepted before.
No.
I've accepted bad singing from Old Dirty and Eazy-E, so I would take it from
Sexy
Red.
Well, it ain't just the singing, man. It's like, man, like,
I've accepted bad rapping from Old Dirty AZE before. Because, you know, Old Dirty, like, he ain't always come out with the best of
lyrics,
you know? No. But just, you either like it or you don't.
Yeah, well, we knew he was on drugs.
Yeah, so, and you know what? And right now, true hip-hop aficionados have big-time judgment for people who like Sexy Red.
Absolutely.
And there are some people who grew up listening to Wu-Tang, Lauryn Hill, and Sexy Red may drop a song, but they can't, but they cannot let people know that they feel that because they'll lose something.
Hold on, say that again.
There are some people who grew up listening to Lauryn Hill, Wu-Tang Clan, right. Fugees, and Sexy Red may have a song that they like, but they're not going to let you know.
You talking about guys? Guys, ain't talking about women? Nah, hell no, because the women gonna bump that shit.
Well, it's and then there's a guy too out there, like, oh, hell, you know,
yeah.
Somebody's digging this stuff,
right?
But they're not gonna let you know.
Billboard gave Sexy Red number 2 on the sexiest women list.
Sexiest. Oh, who's number 1? Ice Spice.
Hell no, boy. Nikki Nickel.
Oh, she's number 1 on the sexiest.
Yeah.
And Sexy Red is number 2.
Above over, Meg. Above Ice Spice. Above Cardi.
I'm sorry, but, you know, here's the thing. Like, she's Sexy
she
Red.
She's gonna stink, man.
But she's not really that sexy.
She ain't sexy at all, man. She's sexy to somebody. I'm just speaking from my perspective.
Trashy. She's a little trashy.
I don't know, because I've seen trashy that still has sex appeal about them.
Yeah, but then sometimes it's just pure trashy.
Thank you.
Like once you singing about it or promoting anything with gonorrhea in it, and you know, like, you're not sexy no more. That's just trashy now. And she's admitted that that's the lane that she's walking.
Cum bucket.
So when you understanding what we were raised to believe about that type of woman, then there's gonna be some judgment if that's what you choose.
Bruh, I think people get judged and people get stereotyped by ignorant people who don't understand that there are different types of people and they have empathy for the different types of people. But I think when you actually verbalize and promote, whether it's on the mainstream, low, whatever, if that's what you're saying about yourself, mm-hmm. That's not stereotype. Right. Because you've told me, you know what I'm saying? It's not me judging you or any of that. It's what you told me. I think there's the difference between those two. And so this leads me to another point that I was talking about judging, because we cover a lot right now, and I'm at a situation now where I'll share something personal, where the kids and drill music, like, I know enough kids and I've been around, interacted with enough kids to know that drill music doesn't make the playlist of all the kids right now.
Right.
But the kids who continuously listen to drill music and pain music, I think as a parent, you should judge your kid and pay attention to your kid. Because a kid close to me for the past 3-4 months, I have heard this kid listening to nothing but drill music. Before that, it was pain music. And I didn't even know what the pain music was until I was in Waleed spot in Atlanta. And I'm sitting beside this very timid dude. And come to find out, he's the quote-unquote godfather of pain music.
Who is it?
I can't even remember his
Wave?
Name. No, his producer. He's from South Carolina.
Oh, right. Okay.
His producer. I'm talking about this dude probably don't even leave out of the house.
Right.
Because he's so antisocial and shit. That's where he pulls from to make this music. Mm-hmm. And so me and this person had a conversation about the pain music. And then the next thing I know, it's all this damn drill music. Why are you listening to that?
Hey.
In the 90s, we listened to the hardcore, grimy shit. And that's what we had access to. So,
well, you know where the judgment, the part of the reason you judge is because, like, we remember watching dudes change their persona,
bruh,
as they got more involved in their favorite artists. I watched dudes change the way they dress, the way they talk, and the way they act because,
all of it.
Like, you know, if I like Wu-Tang, then now I'm going to look and act like a Wu-Tang Clan member. If I like N.W.A., I watch dudes turn into Compton gangbangers.
All of it.
You know, I seen it happen in person.
All
so
of it.
So after you seen it happen, you can't help but attach what you've seen to what people are listening. Like, if this is what you're listening to, then, and you're constantly bombarding your mind with this, then eventually it's going to get you.
And you know the difference of the 90s.
That's
grimy.
The danger of this horror music. you let your daughter sit listen to stuff all the time.
Listen, man.
Eventually.
And it's not even them being, but because now is a different time. And you're being judged on social media by people who don't even know you.
How about this one? You remember when Eminem first came out and kind of like everybody rocked with Eminem and there was no judgment. But eventually, there came a point where if you rock with Eminem, you kind of got judged.
Absolutely.
You had like,
It's pop music.
Right. And you got judged as, you know.
It's pop.
Right.
But drill music will have you judged by them boys who really bout that life. Mm. The senseless violence.
They will see you. They will see you as involved.
Listen. There's a young boy in New York. Within the last year to 6 months, he's like 12, 13 years old. He got killed. Mm-hmm. He was a drill artist. Gang affiliated. Like, I'm not going to sugarcoat this because drill music is gang affiliated.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, how the hell are you going to make drill music if you ain't gang affiliated? What you got to talk about?
Right.
I see this social media profile of my young boy, and I got so nervous that I started shaking. Because you don't know what you're putting into the universe and what's being attracted to you because of your ignorance. Because you want to listen to this and post this. See, that's the thing.
That's the thing. You post, you're attaching yourself to it when you put it, when you go public with your preferences.
Jay, every drill track that I'm familiar with reference a death. Mm-hmm. Whether the bro got hit or the bro hit somebody. Mm-hmm. And you know what either one of those bros has? There's other bros who gonna ride for bro.
Right. And that's why it makes it a dangerous association.
You can make an innocent video.
And you'll be judged to be part of one team or the other.
Thank you.
I got you.
Thank you. That's 70% of why I thought about this topic. Mm-hmm. It's because we, like, on some level,
picking a team.
Yes. One of my favorites, Pooh Shiesty.
Mm-hmm. I heard you roll
free
up bumping the Pooh Shiesty today.
I could protect myself. You know what I'm saying? But
I'm judging you, man. You going to jail.
I've been. Pooh doing time for me. But Pooh said, if something ain't happened to the killer, you can't wear no RIP shirt. Where I'm from, you don't even see the parents post, I miss my child, or my friend's child got killed because the killer's still walking around and they living in fear.
Right.
They're being judged by society.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's so crazy. A couple weeks ago, three got shot. One got killed. Two got killed. You saw RIP for so-and-so. I said, oh, he must have been a civilian. Mm-hmm. What you mean? The other guy who got killed, you ain't see nobody post him.
Right.
You ain't see nobody post him. Why? Because he got active, affiliated. Just take your mic off.
Nah, it's on. I hear myself.
I can hear myself, but I can't hear you. Oh.
I'm good.
Okay.
And to what you were saying, when it's also easy to get caught up being judged in areas that are more active. Like here in North, that's why social media is it reaches all those areas.
Everywhere.
But back in the day, like we could enjoy like Snoop's a Crip.
Mm-hmm.
I can only imagine that a group of Bloods probably No, I'm not there.
Snoop talked
during
about
that time, but I can imagine that maybe the Blood audience wasn't there for him like that.
He talked about it. He said the first time he threw up his Crip sign on TV, it changed his life. He chose a side.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And now, then from that point on, like, you lose half your audience in areas that are split between the Bloods and the Crips.
Right.
Right. And you're being judged. And when you listen to that, you could come riding. You don't even know you're in an area that's controlled by one side or the other, but you listen to the wrong artist, and you're making a statement without understanding that you're making this statement.
Right.
And here comes the judgment.
So I did interviews of up-and-coming artists, and two of the hottest artists in underground in North Carolina are affiliated. Mm-hmm. And someone who I hold dear to my heart called me once they realized I was doing these interviews, and that they said, do what you do, but be careful. I said, the fuck you mean, be careful? Bruh, you can ask one question. They can answer the question, but be speaking a different language and mean something totally different to the ops.
And you find yourself involved.
Crazy. The judgment is to the extreme now.
Right. So and you know what? Just to pivot, talking about picking sides, when like take Kid Rock, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's totally picked the MAGA side.
Right.
So if anybody listen to Kid Rock, immediately associate them
with
MAGA.
Right.
And there goes the judgment. Whether you like the song or not.
Yeah.
If you're not associated with that movement.
Yeah.
And you posting and saying, I'm a fan of this artist, you're now attached to their beliefs.
Absolutely. Like Lil Pump.
Right.
You know, and judging, like, how can I, at 45 years old, not judge our vice president having made the Stallion come twerk on stage? dressed as a businesswoman. How can I not judge that when
she definitely said that she created the association.
Come on, bro.
She created the association, but I think she created the association hoping that the judgment would be positive and give her gains. But there's a percentage, there's a part of the crowd that's going to look at it and say, this is not
what I want to represent.
This is not what I want to represent.
And I think it wouldn't have come across to me the way it did if she wasn't dressed in business casual slutty wear. You know what I mean? Like business casual on a black female has always had some prestige.
There's some power to it. The pantsuit had power.
Absolutely. Now you've made the association of the pantsuit and sex. Isn't that like taking the power away? Because if I respected that coming in the room before, now I can associate it with sex. And yeah, porn has been out there for years doing this. Right. But that's not at the event for the president elect.
Or somebody trying to run, right?
Like,
so but this goes right back to the conversation though, the judgment in what music you choose to associate yourself with.
Absolutely.
And you know, she could have easily pulled Rhapsody up there. She could have wrote a rap with no curse words in it, no twerking.
The new black national anthem.
Right. Could have easily been that.
Coming from a black woman.
Because it's
time for a new one.
I see that.
I was confused and I was like, so is this further now the judgment for me is this further pushing an agenda that your co-partner has already pushing in Minnesota anyway, which is basically sexual freedom. Like I can't even get on my soapbox right now.
Yeah, we can save that. Look, the direction you're going sound like a whole topic for a whole other show.
I mean, but it's all a part of judgment right now.
Because, yeah.
Like, and I was like, so Meg is educated.
It's across the board. Like this, you're going to be judged for what type of music you associate yourself with from the top to the bottom.
From the top to the bottom.
So even a presidential candidate.
Right.
And that also goes to say, another example is when you have artists who stop people who don't align with their beliefs from using their music.
Right.
You know, don't use my song to walk out there on stage too.
I think Obama used Jay-Z and Jeezy to empower people to vote. And so we've seen this before.
Yeah, but I think they're just as much of an imperfect messenger as Megan Thee Stallion. Like, there's no difference between the impact that Jay-Z and Jeezy had versus Megan Thee Stallion. Megan Thee Stallion made girls want to twerk. Jay-Z and Jeezy made dudes want to sell drugs.
They didn't.
Oh, of course they did. What, the snowman? You telling me the snowman didn't make somebody want to sell drugs? He made it sound real cool.
Up until that point. But you
know,
if he
people
had
didn't even know how much a kilo was supposed to be.
No, but if he had represented the president to be with drug talk,
I see the difference. The difference is bringing it to the campaign.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm the individual. But this is not what I'm saying right now.
Right.
I understand.
This is our future here now.
Right.
And
it was no time to be twerking.
Come on, bro. Let's not act like it ain't the woman's time, bro. Right. Don't act like it ain't the time for them to hone in on that power that we given to them.
Right. And it's a perfect time to.
And not the power that we given to them, the power that we recognize. Right.
And it would have been a great time for Megan Thee Stallion to show her
intelligent, and she's educated,
professional side.
Yes.
Right. And you came out twerking in business casual. This was the time you came out freestyling about how this woman is so great and she, how she's going to help America.
Yep.
You couldn't even give us an original verse. You couldn't even give us an original verse. You gave us something that promotes sexuality.
Right, right.
When this is a time where people are supposed to be using their brains to make a conscious decision about our future. And this is what you do. It's a distraction.
Right, right.
All right, I'm done.
That's most profound because it fits right into what we're saying, man. Like, you judged on what music you listen to, and I'm almost 100% sure that Kamala Harris don't have Megan Thee Stallion in her playlist.
Right, right. Come on, man.
Any more than Barack was sitting around listening to Jay-Z.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, I don't believe for a second
that he had him on his playlist.
I don't.
Come on now.
Maybe Michelle Obama has some Beyonce in there.
She different.
You know.
She used Cocoa Butter. She might listen to J.A. But you know,
look, I don't believe that anymore than I believe Hillary Clinton still got that hot sauce in her purse.
But Jesus came out. My president is black. My Lambo's blue.
Right.
No drug talk at all.
Right. Right.
And you know what I'm saying?
And you know, that's a great, point to make, especially man. Considering what we're talking about right now. But
man, this is the mixtape, man. This ain't just the podcast, man, because all of this be off the top, man. I seen a couple other shows that they film in North Carolina and call them podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
There's too many antics going on them. That's why they filming them.
Right.
And I heard somebody say the only true rap or hip-hop podcast in North Carolina. Nah, bro. You don't make me come to Newbern Avenue and sit down and talk to you. It's a Capital City podcast, man.
Well,
check the resume.
I'm telling you, man, after you drop that Megan Thee Stallion thing, I'm like, golly, that hits the point. It hits the point so well. Like, it's hard to go anywhere after that.
Well, we talking about keeping women's free choice of their bodies. Not old girl who talking about she want a Plan B pill. That's what you brought to the stage. Come on, man.
Come on, man. But you know what? That same judgment that we're talking about,
yeah.
While some people see it negatively,
mm-hmm.
when you think about the hordes of fans
mm-hmm.
that she has, she's hoping that the judgment will be positive from her fans.
It ain't like, time to hope.
You know, hey.
It's time to motivate a different demographic of people. And that's why I keep using the Obama,
yeah, because Jay-Z and Jesus. A lot of those people still not going to show up when you need them.
They ain't going
to fucking vote. Right, right. You know, cater to the wrong crowd.
Yeah. They're not going
to make the change that we trying to.
Bro, I drive to work every morning, Monday through Friday. You know, the two things I see on the road. Mexican men and black women.
Yeah.
That's predominantly what I see on the road. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I could tell the ones that's going to the call center, and I could tell the ones who actually going to, and I'm not downplaying the call center job, but I could tell the ones who are going, who have power, who are going about their business too.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because I don't care what gender it is, you got people who are decision makers, and then you got workers.
How can you tell? Are you judging based on the car they're driving?
And how they, yeah. And how they look, yeah.
The car, yeah. And how they look.
How they're dressed. I ain't going to say how they look, because how they're dressed.
But we made the association a while back on this show that how you're dressed is just as important as what you're listening to.
Absolutely.
It all speaks, you know.
Right.
And I'm not advocating that things should be this way. This is just how it is.
I mean, it's just
it's just life. Life is
having people.
You will be judged.
Yeah, you know, animals, reptiles. Like
before Cypress Hill, we talking about the smoking. Before Cypress Hill, everybody else listening to hip hop, the dude that pull up always want to hear some reggae.
He smoked weed.
And that,
that's a given.
Whether it's the case or not.
Right. Yeah.
It is the case.
Right.
You know? So.
The ones who smoke Black and Miles.
The Black and Miles smoker. What's the Black and Miles smoker listen to, man?
They smoke weed. What you mean? They just can't get no weed right now. They smoke weed. You know?
Well, so. Well, now you can sit and think. What have you judged somebody on listening to? There's been a lot of stuff we ain't even cover,
right.
But there's so many other. There's a lot. Like right now, somebody's being judged because after Kendrick Lamar, KO Drake, somebody's still listening to Drake. They don't care nothing about what you think right now.
Right.
And they're gonna have to deal with whatever scrutiny comes.
Yep.
From people who think that Kendrick Lamar made Drake unacceptable.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, they didn't make Drake unacceptable.
No.
But some people are going to hide how much they like Drake right now.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, like, they'll be listening to Drake all the way till they get close, then they pop on some Kendrick so they can pull up and look cool.
Right.
They not like us. They not like us. Knowing that you were listening to Hotline Bling all the way over here.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Man, it's crazy.
So, yeah, this conversation, you can continue this conversation on your own. But best believe, you're being judged constantly.
Mm-hmm. And now, you said it right. You're being drugged.
Yeah, you're being drugged.
Music is a drug, man. And I can't leave it alone, man. I can't leave hip-hop alone, man. Nah, I tried.
But you know what? And I can say, here's how real the judgment is. Like, when I come on here and talk about how I'm sick of hearing the same old content.
Right.
Well, what I'm listening to in my car, like, honestly, I don't even listen to dirty music no more.
And what you call dirty music?
No, I'm talking about I listen to clean versions.
Oh, me too.
I don't even feel like, sometimes it just be so over the top.
Yeah,
that I listen to clean music.
Right, right.
And if you hear me, you'll be like, what's going on with that dude?
I search it out.
That's where I am right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you judging me, you're exactly right. I don't want to hear that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's not, and it started with me having my kids in the car all the time.
Yeah.
But after a while, I've come to prefer the clean version because when you take out some of those words, I can hear the message a little bit back and hear what you're saying a little better. The curse words are a distraction. And now it feels a little more creative to my brain when I get rid of the cursing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's like, well, why they? And then you put the cursing back in. It's like, I don't know if I like the song. It said nigga 3 times in a row for nothing.
Right. Right. It's kind of like having a conversation with somebody. Somebody that curse all the time, like, you know, it shows you that you know how far the conversation can go.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you hear a song that, like, at the end of every stanza, whatever, ho.
Right.
Keep it real, ho.
Bitch.
Fuck how you feel, ho. You know what I'm saying? I'm feeling feel, ho. You know, and it's like, if you take that out, and now all you hear is, I keep it real.
Right.
I feel it fit. Mm-hmm. I did the jail. And it's like, well, you know, you don't even need the ho in there.
Right. Well, yes, you do for it to rhyme.
And it still rhymes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I keep it real, ho.
Right.
Don't get yourself killed, ho. But you could take the ho out and you still got the rhyme.
Right.
And now you're not distracted from the creativity that was put into this because you really, when all the extras in there, you're thinking, oh, so ho is the common denominator. But no, not really. It's the rhyming word before ho.
Right.
And you could take the ho out. And you got a perfectly good song that you could play for anybody. Old people, young people, grandmas, kids.
Yep.
Put the hoe in there.
Yeah. Last thing before we get out of here.
Yeah.
The culture of hip hop is so impactful that you can look at the style of dress and make judgments about people.
No doubt.
I said, cat with the Jesus piece. I think I told you this. He had a Jesus piece a couple weeks ago. And I said, damn, bro, you looking like somebody just, when you get out? And he thought about it. And he said, last year. But how you know? Bro, you got a damn Jesus piece.
hey, look.
It's
look,
swinging.
Look, speaking of judging, this is outside of the hip-hop realm. But back when Boyz II Men was out the same time as Jodeci.
Right.
When I saw cats dressed like Boyz II Men, I ain't look at them the same way as I look at them cats dressed like Jodeci.
I'm pretty.
And you, it was different.
Pretty niggas,
but they both making R&B songs, and yeah. I can truthfully say that Jodeci's songs weren't that much any more edgier than
their delivery was more aggressive.
The delivery was more aggressive. You might get slapped. But you know, at the end of the day, you know, like. Yeah.
So you weren't fighting.
Yeah, promise I never fall in love with danger. That's Jodeci. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Like they're not that far apart. It's just the imagery behind them.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
You know, Boyz II Men had some joints that bump.
They never had a feeling.
And they, I don't know, man. Boys, man.
So you're having my baby. And it means so much to me.
I'm through.
Thank
I'm
you.
I'm through. I'm sorry.
What are you talking about? You take my money, my house, and my car.
You're killing me right now.
What? Boys, the me? Boys, the
right
who?
Now.
How do I? If you say don't know me goodbye. By now, you won't never know me.
Nah, you're right.
Come on now.
But at the end of the day, it's still good old fashioned R&B for both of them.
Yes, sir.
But when you, the visual imagery made you think, okay, these guys soft and these guys aren't.
Right.
When you just look at people who mimic their style.
However you want it. However you need.
Now that was.
Giving up.
Jodeci doing songs with Tupac. Boys and Men over here rocking with LL. So.
Come on,
hey, yeah. We out of here. Judge us how you want. You know. I got all kind of stuff on my playlist.
You having my man.
I wrote up here listening to Total.
Total versus Destiny Child.
Right.
That's like Jodeci and Boyz II Men that you compare, you
right,
know?
Right. And I'm telling you, Total tripping. That's my joint.
What?
I know what you're talking about. You got me. Yeah. So that's where I'm
people
at. That's where I'm at. Hey, this is the Capital City Podcast. We are your judgmental hosts. And every time you ride by, listen to your music, we're going to be looking side-eyed at you, trying to see if we approve.
Absolutely.
So it's Capital City Podcast. I'm your host, Capital J, alongside my main man.
D.L. Glass.
Watch what you listen to. You're being judged.